back, we're making up more than we're making love.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is a Throwback Thursday. 1994 is when we go back. So we go back for the Tonya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan situation. But Alabama and Ohio State Monday night in Miami, the national championship game. Let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Brett Hudson joins us from the Tuscaloosa News to talk about the Alabama side of the national title game. How are you, Brett?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good. All right, so let's start off, before we get into some of the details of the game, let's start off with this season as a whole. This explosion offensively, this trio of Mac Jones, Devontae Smith, Najee Harris, we knew they would be there. Did you expect an offense like we've seen this year, averaging nearly 50 points a game?
I don't think anyone expected this, no, because when you go back to the offseason, Alabama had its quarterback, two wide receivers, and an offensive lineman drafted in the first round. They lost others due to eligibility or transfer. So you don't anticipate an offense like this after that kind of attrition. And frankly, the roster projection kind of lended itself to more of a ground-based run-forward attack when you're returning four of your five offensive line starters and basically all of your ball carriers from the season prior. You would expect them to be kind of a run-first or at least more run-centric style of offense, even if they don't go full-on joyless murder ball, as it's called in these parts. But they didn't do that. They realized the talent they have with Devontae Smith and their tight end group and some of the wide receivers behind them. They correctly evaluated that Mac Jones is an elite thrower of the deep ball, and he can make defenses pay consistently that way. So they went full speed ahead, and the results are pretty obvious, are they not?
All through the regular season, no one has been able to keep up with Alabama, but they did get pushed by Florida in the SEC title game. Is there anything to dissect from that game that Ohio State could replicate in Miami on Monday?
That and other games in Alabama's season, they've struggled with, I guess the right word would be atypical passing concepts. Like tight ends have given Alabama trouble all year long. And Ohio State has one, Jeremy Ruckert, who has 12 catches on the year, five of them for touchdowns. He had three catches in the semifinal against Clemson, two of them for touchdowns. So that's something to monitor when you use a more complex pass scheme to get secondary receiving threats. The football, Alabama's shown a vulnerability to that. They've also shown vulnerability to running backs out of the backfield, but that's not something that Ohio State does a lot of. So if Ohio State is able to establish its run game, especially with Justin Fields being a part of that, if his ribs can handle that kind of contact and open themselves up to some of the more complex play-action pass schemes in their arsenal, that would probably lead to a degree of offensive success that could be enough to win the game.
We've seen the coaching staff or Nick Saban take a shuffle during these times. Kirby Smart, we also saw Lane Kiffin. With Steve Sarkisian trying to do double duty, how has that worked so far? And give us a little insight on what his process has been as trying to get this team ready for the game down in Miami.
It's going well because Steve Sarkisian and Nick Saban are shockingly similar. You know, they view the world and football in a lot of the same ways. They're pretty similar people, which is not something I necessarily expected when this experiment kicked off. So really, as you mentioned, Alabama's been in this situation several times before, and it all comes down to the person involved. They've seen the good and bad. The bad, obviously, the Lane Kiffin debacle, and then the championship game, I think it was the 2018 season in California, where they got run off the field by Clemson. They had several assistants on that team that were on their way out and clearly had their minds somewhere other than that national championship game. But they've also been on the good side of it. Jim McElwain, Kirby Smart, and Jeremy Pruitt all won national championship games before they took the head coaching job at Colorado State, Georgia, and Tennessee, respectively. So Bama's been in this situation now six times, And it's all entirely dependent on the person in the situation. And there's a lot of faith in Steve Sarkisian to handle it the way that Alabama would prefer it be handled, because he and Saban are of similar claws. I hesitate to say that too many times, because it might place unfair expectations on him for his tenure at Texas, although I guess Longhorn faithful are probably going to do that whether I say anything about it or not.
Let me ask you this, Brett, and for your opinion on this issue, because I guess the coaches will just toe the line of cliches, but is there a rest factor or a lack of wear and tear factor that you think could be prevalent in this game with the difference of games played between these two opponents?
I guess it's possible, but Alabama's been pretty fortunate, you know, on the injury front, that is. They've had some minor injuries that have kept guys out for a game or two, but most of those things are more or less gone now. The one exception is Malachi Moore, a defensive back who starts as kind of their nickel corner guy. He missed the semifinal. He may be out for the national championship game. It depends on how well he heals in the 10 days in between the games. But for the most part, like Waddle and his ankle injury, and then a defensive lineman, LeBrian Ray, has been out for most of the season. But Bama's been somewhat fortunate in the health department, so I don't know that they're coming into this game significantly more beat up than Ohio State is, especially since Ohio State is far from at full capacity with COVID-19 issues. If anything, I would say there's actually some benefit for Alabama on the opposite side, because go back to the spring, there was no spring practice. There was different, limited, strange summer workouts, whatever term you prefer. And since then, Alabama started its preseason in late August, early September. They've played, 12 games now?
Yeah.
Whereas Ohio State didn't start practicing in earnest until early to mid-September, and they've only played 7. So there are a lot of reps in there that Bama has that Ohio State couldn't even dream of having. So if Alabama were beat up in a bunch of different ways and they were questionable with 3 or 4 starters due to injury, then yeah, I think there's a pretty strong case to be made for that. But Bama's been somewhat fortunate, and I think there's a case to be made that Bama is closer to the best version of itself just because of all the reps it's gotten that Ohio State has not.
Brett Hudson joining us, Tuscaloosa News on a Progressive guest line, talking Alabama as they get ready for Ohio State on Monday in Miami for the national championship. Brett, a little insight on Mac Jones, and if anybody's followed Alabama from maybe the outside and have seen, sort of a field general in A.J. McCarron and the dynamic play of a Tua Tagovailoa, Jalen Hurts, some quarterbacks that have been in the program. What is Mac Jones? What kind of attributes does he have as a quarterback?
Well, first of all, elite deep ball accuracy. He is unbelievable in that regard. I might even argue he's better than Tua accuracy-wise, maybe 25 or more yards down the field. He's truly elite in that regard. He's not the complete package that Tua is yet. Tua was a little more mobile. He's a little more prolific in the RPO game, especially in the short and intermediate ranges. But this is an offense that thrives on forcing defenses to defend all portions of the field when it passes, on having someone who throws the ball as well as Mac Jones does, 25 yards or more down the field, is an invaluable asset in all of that. And Mac Jones really understands this offense. He's a very intelligent person, and he's been able to take things that have come over the course of the season. Like 2 games against Arkansas and Notre Dame, those were 2 teams that kind of sagged into deep, passive zones and more or less took away that deep ball. They said, we're not going to get beat by that, and they're forcing Alabama to work the short and intermediate games, take the dump down, take the check off. And Mac Jones was perfectly willing to do that. He understands all of the intricacies of this offense. He understands managing it within the course of the game and relative to how the opposing defense is playing it. So I think those 2 things are what makes Mac stand out, and also what makes him an excellent fit for this year's offense, are the elite deep ball accuracy and his just overall intelligence and management of the offense.
Is this game, does it feel like it's going to be a sort of, not maybe shootout per se, that might be too strong, but more of an offensive dominated game with Trey Sherman, Justin Fields, and Alabama's weapons? Does it feel like it's going to be more known for that, or could it be a defensive battle?
No, go ahead and call it a shootout. I'm here for that.
Oh, go ahead. Sure. Okay.
I'm getting on a plane for 2 or 3 hours, dude. I better see some points down there.
That's right.
These are two teams that are uber talented everywhere because they recruited the top of the sport. They are almost exclusive in doing that for at least the last 6 or 7 years. But they're also more offensive leaning in nature this year. They just have the electric playmakers there that both teams don't have as many of on the defensive side for different reasons at both schools. So I think these are two teams that are more offensive leaning in nature going against defenses that aren't nationally elite by any standard, maybe not even above average in some. So I do anticipate points. If you look at the gambling lines, most of them fall in the over-under of the 75 to 77 range, with Alabama as a 7 or 8 point favorite. So you're looking at roughly a projected final score of 42 to 34 in favor of the Tide. And that seems about right to me, just based on the roster makeup of these two teams.
One final thought, Brett, before we let you go and catch that plane down to Miami. In terms of Saban and his coaching and the way COVID has affected teams, was there a difference in his approach to what he demanded of his players and what he could get from his players rather than what he couldn't do to the virus? Was there a different way he approached this team than any other team in history because of what he had to deal with from a pandemic sense?
What do you mean, like how they approach the pandemic?
Right. Like without the meetings and without sort of the things that you can ask a player to do pre-COVID that you couldn't ask a player to do post-COVID.
Yeah, honestly, and he's been effusive of his praise in this as well. I think a lot of it comes down to the players. You know, coaches always preach that the best teams are player-led, and they're right, but it's hard to manufacture that within your program, but this team absolutely was. And I think you've seen him cozy up to this team in a way that he doesn't with most of his teams. He was effusive in his praise of this team after the SEC championship game, kind of more or less saying that this was his favorite SEC championship game win because of this team, everything that it's had to endure and go through over the course of the season. So Saban has been very outright in passing on much of the praise and credit to the leadership core of this team, and I think he's right in doing so, and I think he deserves that because they can put in all the contact tracing measures, they can change everything in their program to make them as not liable to COVID or its spread as they possibly can. But ultimately, they can't stop the kids from going to parties and bars if they want to, if they really, really want to. And Alabama's players have been able to maintain their bubble and maintain their focus and understand the task at hand and realize it's not going to be fun sometimes. It's going to be difficult personally, but they've been able to do it. They've only had a few minor instances where COVID has come calling for them, and they've been able to navigate those pretty well. So, I mean, it's natural that all of the credit at Alabama goes to Nick Saban, but I think he has been pretty outright in passing that on to the players when it comes to managing some of the pandemic threats, and I think they earned it.
Brett, great stuff. Really appreciate it. Have a safe trip down to Miami. Enjoy the game and appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
You got it. That is Brett Hudson, Tuscaloosa News. Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. Thoughts on the national championship game when we come back. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.